I'm afraid that we don't understand that. We think that it was no big deal for God to pay that price for us. We act like we're worthy of it. God had to pay the price necessary to provide salvation for us. You stop. You want to know how ugly my sins and your sins are in the sight of God, look to Calvary. Calvary did that. Calvary was the price God required for our sins. I want you to open your Bible to three passages of Scripture so that we can begin our message today. I want you to turn to the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, verse 3. And then Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and 1 John chapter 3, and verse 1. The title of my message today is Trying to Fathom the Unfathomable, God's Love. Trying to Fathom the Unfathomable, God's Love. I started out this week working on this sermon, and it turned into a three-sermon series. So I'm going to start it this morning, and for the next three Sunday mornings, I'm going to preach along this line, trying to fathom the unfathomable, God's love. Stand with me out of love and respect for God's Word as we begin to look at these three verses. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah 31, verse 3, the Bible says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Notice he said in the Old Testament, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Then in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we all ought to be able to quote that. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I try to deal with a subject that no man has the capacity to deal with sufficiently. But help me to help our people to be able to understand a little more about the wonderful love of God for us. I need your help. Fill me with thy Spirit. Use me to preach thy word in power and simplicity. And take the word of God and use it as you apply it to our hearts. Draw us to yourself. Bring conviction upon our hearts as your children, that we might become all you'd have us to be for you. And then, Heavenly Father, I pray for the unsaved that are here today. People who have never accepted this wonderful God as their God and Jesus as their Savior. Would this be that wonderful day, dear God, is our prayer. Would you save their soul today? Now, Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the wonderful love of God. And help us to understand a little more about this unfathomable subject, God's love for us. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. How well do you understand the love of God? We sing about it. We preach about it. But we're still having trouble trying to fathom the unfathomable, the greatness of the love of God. To think that a holy and just God could love hell-deserving sinners like we are ought to boggle our minds. That God would love us. Now, we come to church and we get spruced up and cleaned up and we smell our best and try to look our best as we come to worship God. And we ought to. I didn't say we had to wear the expensive clothing and so forth, but we ought to look our best and smell our best when we come to the house of God. After all, we're worshiping God. But the truth is, inside of every one of us, we know who we really are. And I want you to know, outside of Jesus, we're not much. We're sinners. Without God and without love and without hope in this world. And yet, this holy and just God who created all things and created us and knows all about us, loves us. When Jesus used human words to explain God's divine love to Nicodemus, there was no human word to adequately describe it. Jesus could only say in human terms, for God so loved the world. Now, it wasn't that Jesus couldn't tell us about it. We couldn't have comprehended it. It's bigger than our understanding. When the Apostle John began to write about the love of God in 1 John, he became so overwhelmed by it that he could only cry out in worship, what manner of love is this the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? This morning, in the middle of our long, hot summers in Texas. I want us to try to understand a little bit more about the love God has for us. I want us to know a little bit more about it than we know now. Now, if you're saved, you've already experienced much of God's love in the years of your salvation. We've been witness to the love of God at work here at Trinity Baptist Church over the past years. We've witnessed changed lives and souls having been saved by the thousands over these past years. And may I say to you, that is not the work of a man or men. That is the work of God loving sinners. I certainly don't understand all I want to know and understand about His love for us. However, I'm thankful that He loves me. I'm thankful that He saved me from the condemnation of my sin. I'm thankful that He loved me enough to save me from a wasted life. This morning and for the next couple of Sunday mornings, I want to talk to you on this subject, trying to fathom the unfathomable, God's love. May I say, first of all, concerning God's love toward us, and we've got to get this down in the first place, it is undeserved. I don't want you to come to this church and leave thinking you deserve it. Neither do you deserve it, nor do I deserve it. There's not a man or a woman or a boy or a girl listening to my voice in this auditorium or on the internet that deserved God's love. Turn in your Bible to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. The Bible tells us plainly that it's undeserved. It says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Well, sin had so affected our life and wrecked our lives, and we were so great a sinner that we were not sick. We were dead in sins. We were dead in reference to God. We were dead in reference to heaven. It took a divine miracle to resurrect us, and that miracle is known as the new birth. When God breathed life into this old lifeless, hell-deserving body we live in. His love is undeserved. Verse number 2 of chapter 2 says, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He was saying, hey, when God found us, we were of the devil. We acted like the devil. We lived like the devil. We were more akin to the devil than we ever were to God when God found us. You see, I want you to know this love is undeserved. While you're sitting out there and listening to me, I don't want you for one moment to think that you're so good and so important that God just had to love you. No, God saw nothing in me and you that would move Him to love us. It was undeserved, unmerited. Why? We were so wasted and worthless that God had to deal with us on the basis of grace and mercy, because His love toward us was so undeserved. Verse 3 says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." I'm simply trying to tell you this great love that God, wherein God has loved us. John said it's made us to become sons of God. It's undeserved. Turn in your Bible to Romans 3. Paul is writing, and he's writing about the sin of both Jew and Gentile. He lets us know there's no difference. Verse 10 says of chapter 3 in Romans, "There's none righteous, no, not one." None righteous. That's why God said He loved us while we were yet sinners, and Christ died for us. Verse 11, There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. I want you to know when God found us, we weren't trying to find Him. He sought us first. And He loved us when we were unlovable, unworthy, uncaring. Verse 12 says, They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Verse 13, this is who we are in God's sight before Jesus Christ. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is God's indictment against us. That's who we were without Christ Jesus. That was our standing. You say, well, I just want to come to God and give Him my best. I've just read you the testimony of our best without Jesus Christ. And yet He loves us. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's undeserved love. Undeserved love. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me, this I know. He gave Himself to die for me because He loved me so. But He didn't love me because I deserved it. He didn't love me because I was worthy of it. He didn't love me because I was so good. He didn't love me because I was trying to climb that religious ladder into His goodness. He loved me in spite of me. He loved me for Christ's sake. And He loves me through Jesus Christ. It is undeserved love. Let me say secondly about the love of God. God's love is an elevated love, elevating love. It's an elevating love. When you experience the love of God, you're never the same again. The love of God does not push a person down. It lifts him up. The love of God does not condemn us. It redeems us. It's an elevating love. It's an elevating love. His redeeming love has elevated the lost soul from that of a sinner to a saint. Romans chapter 3 is what we are without Christ Jesus. Sinners. Hell deserving sinners. But in Christ Jesus we're called saints, not sinners. We have His righteousness imputed to our account. We stand accepted in the beloved. We stand cleansed by His blood. We stand redeemed by God's grace. He has lifted us from the sinner to that of a saint. Why, His love is an elevating love. It's elevated us from a hell-bound eternity to a heaven for eternity. Good night. Without Jesus, I was on my way down. And now in Jesus Christ, I'm on my way up. I'm on my way up. Without Jesus Christ, the only future I had to look forward to was hell. Why, without Jesus Christ, my life was a wasted life here on earth. Ah, but because God loved me and sent His Son, I'm now a child of God. He saved me from an eternity in hell. He's given me His name, and He's given me His home as my home. Not only that, He's given me a life worth living. It's an elevating love. Let me ask you. You say you're a Christian. Has the love of God made any difference in your life? Are you living differently than you were before you got saved? Some of you listening to my voice, you're living in an immoral relationship. You're living with a man or a woman outside of marriage. And you say you're a sinner or you're a Christian, and that doesn't bother you. It bothers a child of God. The Holy Spirit's going to convict us. Something's wrong if we haven't taken care of that. If we haven't dealt with that, you say, how do we deal with it? Separate or get married. Preferably both. Separate, get your marriage license, get married, then come back together. The love of God is an elevating love. The love of God is not a license to go further down into sin. It lifts us out of sin and gives us a life worth living and heaven to look forward to. Why? God's love have taken us from strangers and enemies to God to sons of God and heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. His love is an elevating love. I remember going on a mission trip years ago down to Ecuador. And we went down from Quito into the rainforest down in Ecuador. And we went into this village. And the missionary said when we first came here, the gospel had not been preached here. There was no church here. There was no paved roads. There was no electricity. People cooked outside over fire. They slept outside. There were just huts. Multiple marriages, children that didn't really know who their fathers were. He said, now after all of these years, about 20 years, that little old village had houses and stores, had a church. And that little old village had accepted Jesus Christ. The majority of the people there had accepted Christ. And now then they had houses. They had homes, husband, wife, relationships, one wife, one husband. I can say unfathomable, but I can't say See, I couldn't preach if it wasn't for God's help and yours. They had stores. They were happy. They wore clothes. They had a school. And I said, what made the difference? He said, Christ made the difference. Christ's love is an elevating love. An elevating love. God's love does not elevate our standing and life for eternity only. God's love elevates our life here in this wicked world as well. I've said often, He gives us a future to look forward to and a life worth living here on earth. What would your life be today without Jesus Christ? If you're here today and you turn your back on Jesus, what is your future going to be like? I'll tell you this, it's not going to be what it could have been in Christ. Because God's love is an elevating love. An elevating love. We can join with a songwriter who wrote these words. From sinking sand, He lifted me. With loving hands, He lifted me. From shades of night to realms of light. Oh, praise His name, He lifted me. His love is an elevating love. Let me say quickly also this morning that God's love is a sacrificial love. A sacrificial love. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took our place. He died. You say, well, why didn't we die for ourselves? Because we'd have gone to hell. Our death would not have provided salvation. It just brought us face to face with our condemnation. God loved us, and God didn't just love us in word. He did something about it. God, who created the heavens and the earth by the power of His omnipotence with a spoken word, could not save us with a spoken word. So God had to give His own life by giving His own Son to die in our place so we could be saved. It's a sacrificial love. God's Word makes it plain that Jesus did not come to save the righteous. You know those wicked, sorry people I read about a while ago in Romans 3? That's the ones He came to save. Why, He said when Jesus heard it, He said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I am come to not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thank God He loved us while we were yet sinners. He came to save the sinner, the unrighteous who could never save himself. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So we all are included in that gift He provided called salvation. It is a sacrificial love. Romans 5:8 tells us plainly that Christ died for us. His death was sacrificial. He took our place in judgment. He paid the debt that we owed. Jesus said of me and you, condemned already. Jesus stepped up and said, I'll take their condemnation on myself. I'll take their sin upon myself. I'll become sin for them. And there on that cross, Jesus stood in my place and yours, and God poured out His wrath on Jesus, the wrath that was reserved for sinners in hell. And Jesus took my punishment. Jesus died in my place. It is a sacrificial love that God loves us with. How can God say it more plainly than He stated it in Isaiah 53, verse 4 through 7? Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shear is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Did you ever wonder what that means, He opened not His mouth? He offered no excuse. He didn't need one. He offered no defense. He didn't need one. He offered no cry for help. Because had he cried out to God to deliver him, he'd have condemned all of us to hell, and there would be no salvation, no hope, and no heaven for us. He came for sinners who were under the penalty of death, and He took their penalty upon Himself and died for us. He became my substitute. He was on the cross dying in my place and in yours. He paid my sin price as my sacrifice. He alone purchased my salvation with sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. May I say fourthly and lastly this morning, God's love is a saving love. A saving love. Titus chapter 3, verse 4, 5, and 6 says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. The love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, and He saved us. His love is a saving love. Now, what does that word save mean as used in Scripture? What does it refer to? Well, it does not mean to save us from some accident or some disease. I hear people all the time say, "Preacher, I think I'm saved. I was in a car wreck, and I was near death, and God saved my life." Well, that's not what the Bible salvation is meaning. "Well, preacher, I had this terrible disease, and God healed me, and God saved me from death." That's not what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about being saved. It does mean to save sinners from eternal judgment in hell. When we talk about, "I got saved," it means God saved me from the penalty and the curse of my sin, which is hell forever and forever and forever. It means to save a sinner from the eternal wrath of God in the lake of fire, which is the same penalty that Satan will receive. God saved me from that. He delivered me from that. He provided that redemption because of His saving love. Hey, God didn't love us just to give us a better life. God didn't love us to give us a pattern for life. God loved us for the purpose of redeeming us and saving us from the judgment of an eternity without God and without hope. When the Bible talks about being saved, it always refers to the salvation that God bestows upon lost sinners who put their trust and faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. Listen to God as He speaks in His Word. In Romans 10, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is talking about God delivering us from the penalty and the curse of sin because we're all sinners. God's love is a saving love. Then in closing this morning, I want you to know that God gives us a warning about this saving love. Acts 4 verse 12, God says, "Neither is there salvation in any other." Talking about Jesus. "For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Now, I want you to underline that statement, "must be saved." For without Jesus Christ, we are condemned already. Without Jesus Christ, our only future is a wasted life and a worthless hell. Without Jesus Christ, we're without hope and without God in this world. Without Jesus Christ, we are strangers and aliens to the promise. Without Jesus Christ, we're enemies of the cross of Christ. And we follow the lust of this flesh and the desires of the heart, which lead us to a wasted life and a worthless eternity. Oh, but I want you to know, God loves you. God loves you. Don't look at the person next to you. Think about yourself. God loves you. Whether it be those from the Congo in Africa, God loves you. or whether it be a man from Liberia, God loves you. Whether it's a teenager here in Texas, God loves you. Or a single person just trying to make it in this life, I want you to know, God loves you. Whether you're a husband and wife, God loves you. Or you're a boy or girl or a teenager or a young couple trying to get started in a new life, a married life, God loves you. Or maybe you're the prodigal today that just happened to drop in on God's house. God loves you. I want you to know that love is an undeserved love. It's an elevating love. It's a sacrificial love. And it is a saving love. God can forgive your sin and save your souls today. God can lift you out of the pit and can give you a new life in Christ Jesus with heaven to look forward to and a life worth living while you're on that journey up there. It's because of the love of God. You say, how do I get this love? How do I accept it? Very simple. By accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners, in that Christ died for us. God's love is manifested in a person, Jesus Christ. And when you receive Jesus, you're receiving the love of God, which is a gift, a person who came to save sinners and who wants to save you today. Father, that's our message. Would you speak to our hearts this morning, Father, and help us to rejoice in the wonderful truth that's so great it's beyond our comprehension and understanding, that God loves me. Lord, there's someone here this morning that's a child of God that's going through struggles and heartaches and tough times. And may they go home today knowing that God loves them. There are people here today that are struggling with heartaches and difficulties and sorrows, financial problems. Help them to understand that in the midst of all of their troubles, our great God in glory loves us and has provision for us. And then, Father, there are some rebels here today, some prodigals. Oh, they may not be out in the hog pen. Maybe they're the prodigal that stayed home, but they're prodigals anyway. Help them to understand that God loves them. And God wants to forgive their sins. He wants to lift them out of their life that they're living. He wants to elevate them to the place of sons and daughters in Christ Jesus. And He has saving love to do it with. Speak to our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name.